There is a song that reached number one on the American charts in 1986 and was played at civil rights rallies, written about poverty and racial injustice, and later sampled by Tupac Shakur in one of the defining protest songs of the 90s. And it was made by a white pianist from a colonial town in Virginia who had spent 5 years being turned down by every record label in Los Angeles. The song is The Way It Is. The man is Bruce Hornsby. Most people know the melody. That rolling, repeating piano figure that sounds like something between gospel and minimalism, something you feel before you understand it. Fewer people know the story behind it. And almost nobody knows how strange and restless the career that followed has been. Bruce Randall Hornsby was born on November 23, 1954, in Williamsburg, Virginia. If you know Williamsburg at all, you probably know it as a tourist destination, a perfectly preserved colonial town that exists as a kind of living museum. It is not, on the surface, the kind of place that produces visionary jazz-influenced pianists. But Hornsby's family was deeply musical. His father was an attorney who had also been a musician. His mother played piano and was involved in the church and the local community. Two of his older brothers played music seriously. He started playing piano as a child and was drawn, early on, to music that was harder to categorize. Not just pop, not just classical. Jazz, particularly the Southern and gospel-inflected jazz that was woven into Virginia's musical culture. He was listening to musicians like Leon Russell and Bill Evans at an age when most kids were listening to AM Radio Top 40. After high school, he went to the University of Miami's Frost School of Music, which was at that time building a reputation as one of the serious American conservatories for jazz and popular music. He studied formally, learned theory, developed his technique. Then he went to Los Angeles. What happened next is the part of the story that most successful artists prefer to skip over. Hornsby arrived in Los Angeles in the late 1970s and spent 5 years trying to get a record deal. 5 years of playing sessions, writing songs, knocking on doors. Nothing. He was doing what many musicians do to survive, writing songs for other artists, working as a session player, taking whatever came. He wrote for Huey Lewis, he wrote jingles. He was good enough that people hired him. He was not, according to everyone who held the keys to the industry, interesting enough to have his own record deal. The labels told him his sound was too unpredictable. Too much jazz, not enough pop, not easily categorized. Which, in retrospect, was a description of exactly what would make him distinctive, but at the time it just meant rejection. He kept writing. And eventually, around 1984, he started forming what would become Bruce Hornsby and The Range, a band that included his brother John on guitar. They signed with RCA Records in 1985. The debut album came out in 1986. It was called simply The Way It Is, and the title track is where the story gets interesting. The song opens with that piano figure. Repetitive, almost hypnotic, built on a pattern that does not resolve the way you expect it to. Then Hornsby starts singing about a man standing in a welfare line, about a sign that says, "We don't want your kind." He is singing, explicitly and with real anger, about race and poverty and the limits of what the law can actually do to change what people believe. The chorus is the line that contains the whole argument. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. And then, crucially, the bridge pushes back. But don't you believe them? This is not a love song. It is not feel-good pop. It is a protest song dressed in a melody so beautiful that millions of people dance to it without necessarily catching the politics. Hornsby has said that the song was partly inspired by the civil rights era and partly by his own observations of poverty and inequality in Reagan's America. It reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in October 1986. The album went on to sell 3 million copies. At the 1987 Grammy Awards, Bruce Hornsby and The Range won Best New Artist. And then Hornsby, at the moment of maximum commercial opportunity, did something most pop stars do not do. He started getting stranger. In 1987, the Grateful Dead asked Hornsby to open some of their shows. This was not an obvious pairing. The Dead were the beating heart of the American counterculture, a San Francisco jam band with a mythology all their own. Hornsby was a chart-topping pop pianist from Virginia. But the music fit. The Dead played long, improvisational sets where songs could expand to 20 minutes or collapse into something barely recognizable. Hornsby's jazz background and his feel for extended piano work made him a natural. He started sitting in with them at shows. By September 1990, he was effectively a touring member of the band, playing keyboards alongside Vince Welnick during a period when the Dead were completing their final years. He played more than 100 shows with them between 1990 and 1992. he continued to sit in with the band until Jerry Garcia's death in August 1995. Hornsby has spoken about how those years changed him as a musician. The Dead's approach to improvisation, to treating each performance as a unique event, to not repeating yourself, became part of how he thought about making music. It is not a coincidence that his subsequent solo work became more experimental, more willing to wander, harder to pin to a genre. In 1998, 3 years after the death of Tupac Shakur, an album called Are You Still Down was released. It contained a track called Changes, which Shakur had recorded in 1992, and it opened with that piano figure. Bruce Hornsby's piano figure, sampled and looped under one of Tupac's most direct statements about race and violence. Changes became one of the most played Tupac songs ever released. It introduced Hornsby's melody to an entirely new generation who had no particular reason to know who Bruce Hornsby was. The piano figure, stripped from its original context, became the sonic foundation for a meditation on police brutality and black lives. Hornsby has said he was honored by the connection. He has spoken about Tupac's gift and about the way the sample brought new meaning to a song he had written a decade earlier. It is one of the more unexpected threads in American music history, a Virginia pianist's protest melody crossing into West Coast rap and becoming, in that new form, something even more powerful. After The Range and the Dead years, Hornsby built a new band, the Noisemakers. If The Range was a tight, radio-ready pop group, the Noisemakers are something else entirely. They are a vehicle for exactly the kind of music the Los Angeles record labels told him nobody wanted: jazz-inflected, genre-crossing, long-form, improvisational. Live Noisemakers shows are famously unpredictable. Hornsby has been known to play entire sets on dulcimer. The set lists change night to night. Songs stretch and shrink. He brings in guests. He plays material from across 40 years of work in whatever order strikes him as interesting that evening. He has recorded a jazz trio album, worked with the bluegrass musician Ricky Skaggs, collaborated with a classical chamber ensemble called Why Music, and in 2026 released a new album called Indigo Park. The Guardian described it as part of a bizarre renaissance for a musician who has spent 30 years being too interesting to be easily famous. He won 3 Grammy Awards over his career: Best New Artist in 1987, Best Bluegrass Recording in 1990, and Best Pop Instrumental Performance in 1994. 3 awards, 3 entirely different categories. That tells you something. When you see Bruce Hornsby live, which is what you are about to do, you are watching someone who has spent 4 decades refusing the easier path. He could have made more records that sounded like The Way It Is. He could have toured the nostalgia circuit. He chose instead to keep moving, keep experimenting, keep finding musicians who interested him. The piano is the thing to listen for. That touch, that rolling repetitive figure, the way he lets a chord breathe before resolving it. It is the same touch whether he is playing with The Range in 1986, or sitting in with The Dead in 1991, or leading the Noisemakers in 2026. The sound is his. It does not belong to a genre or an era. And the politics are still there, underneath the melody. The argument that The Way It Is made in 1986 about race and poverty, and the gap between what the law says and what people do, that argument did not age out. Tupac knew it. Hornsby knows it. It is, in that sense, one of those songs that keeps finding new moments to be relevant. The piano will start. You will recognize it immediately. And now you will know where it came from. A pianist from a colonial town in Virginia spent 5 years being told he was too strange for the mainstream, made a number one protest song dressed as a pop record, played over 100 shows with the Grateful Dead, had his melody sampled by Tupac, and is still recording new music in his 70s. Some things will never change. But don't you believe them?